to Sigru and see Gauranga. What's the number? 21, 54, and this is okay. It's a bit further up. Jai Jai Sitchitanya Daya Nityananda. Jai Jai Sitchitanya Daya Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Daya Gaura Bhakta Vinda. Jai Jai Sitchitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vinda. We continue to read from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhilila chapter 21, The Opulence and Sweetness of Lord Krishna, text 54. Etina Damahaya Krishna Adiswara. Goloka paravyoma prakritira para. Etina damehaya Krishna adishwara. Goloka paravyoma prakritira para. Etina damehaya Krishna adishwara. Goloke paravyoma prakitira para. Etina damehaya Krishna adishwara. Goloka paravyoma prakritira para. Ladies,
thank you.
Etina Dhammera. Of these three dhams, or residential places, namely Goloka Vrindavan Dham, Vaikuntha Dham, Hari Dham, and Devi Dham, the material world. Haya is Krishna, Lord Krishna. Adishwara, the Supreme Master. Goloka Paravyuma, the spiritual planet Goloka, and the spiritual sky. Prakritir Para, beyond the material energy. Translation. Krishna is the Supreme Proprietor of all dhams, including Goloka Dham, Vaikuntha Dham, and Devi Dham. The Paravyoma and Goloka Dham are beyond Devi Dham, this material world. Purport. When a living entity is liberated from Devi Dham, but does not know of the opulence of Hari Dham, he is placed in Mahesh Dham, which is in between the other two dhams. The liberated soul does not get an opportunity to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead there. Therefore, although this Mahesh Dham is Lord Shiva's Dham and above Devi Dham, it's not the spiritual world. The spiritual world begins with Hari Dham or Vaikuntha Loka. Om Jnanati Marandasya Ginandana Salakaya Chakshuraminitam Yenatasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Yalati Swapadantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in this portion of the Madhya Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, from chapter 19 to 25, we are entering into philosophy rather than pastimes. First Rupa Goswami receives instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Sanatan Goswami receives instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and also something about the further information about the discussions with the disciples of the Mayavadis Prakashananda Saraswati in Benares. Here we're discussing the nature of the material world, the spiritual world, and what divides them. In the verses that passed, there was a description of the river Viraja, which divides the material and spiritual worlds. The material world being known as Devi Dham, and then the Paravyoma, the Vaikuntha planets, Hari Dham, and finally Golok, Goloka Dham. Here there's reference to a state in between, or a destination in between, Mahesh Dham. And Srila Prabhupada explained that this Mahesh Dham is not the spiritual world. We're noting that. There is some more information about that. in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita from Sanatan Goswami, he describes that actually there are different manifestations of Lord Shiva. Just as Krishna expands himself, we know first Krishna expands himself into Lord Balaram, then the first Chaturvyuha, then again from there Narayan manifests, then a next Chaturvyuha, and then so many Vishnu forms, and finally also Lord Mahavishnu, who is residing on that Viraja river, because another name of the Viraja is the causal ocean. So there, on the causal ocean, is the abode of Lord Mahavishnu. It is said that the material energy is sometimes manifest and sometimes not manifest, or a day of Brahma and the night of Brahma. During the night of Brahma, all the ingredients of the material world are entering into the body of Lord Mahavishnu. And at that point, the Mahatattva, or the total material energy, is not manifest. But it is still existing in potential. That potential is called pradana. It is said within the pradana that three modes of material nature are in perfect balance and therefore become dissolved. Anyway, so there is no pradana, there is no manifestation of any material energy at all in what kind of form or so on. So, it is then said that when it is the beginning of the day of Brahma, that Lord Mahavishnu glances upon this material energy. This is Brahma Samhita. He glances on this pradana, on this potential, and that the glance, sa'aiksata, as is mentioned in the Upanishads, by that glance, the Lord is impregnating the pradana, it becomes activated, the material elements become manifest, Mahatattva becomes manifest, and the living beings become manifest within that arrangement. Then the Brahma Samhita is explaining that the glance of Mahavishnu is actually, Mahavishnu is then expanding himself, and that glance becomes Shambhu or Sadashiva, who is still an expansion of Narayan, of Lord Mahavishnu. Then Sadashiva, who is therefore still in the category of Vishnu Tattva, he is coming in touch with pradana, with the material potential, and then what is described in the Brahma Samhita as yata dadi vikara visesha yogat, the transformation of milk into yogurt takes place. And it is at that point that that unique tattva called Shiva tattva becomes manifest. Jiva Goswami says it's like a lamp, like an oil lamp. It's still a lamp, but now the glass has become black and from the soot, and therefore very little of the influence of the Narayan feature of Shiva, Sada Shiva, is now manifest in this form of Shambhu. So in the Bhagavatam, we find several references to Lord Shiva in various portions. And at one point, we find a description of Mount Kailash. Mount Kailash was originally the abode of Kuvira, the treasurer of the demigods, and therefore very, very opulent. And that abode, Kuvira being a devotee of Lord Shiva, offered that to Lord Shiva. So it became the residence of Lord Shiva. So this Mount Kailash is found just on the the banks of the Viraja, but on the material side of the Viraja. And now I'm going to Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Then Sanatana Goswami describes, he said, actually, there are two abodes of Lord Shiva. One abode of Lord Shiva is on the material bank of the Viraja, and the other abode of Lord Shiva is on the spiritual bank of the Viraja, on the spiritual side. it is said, in the material, on the material side, it is Mount Kailash, and there the demigod Shiva resides, who is the transformation after, or the yogurt, so to speak. And on the spiritual side is the Sada Shiva form of Lord Shiva, who resides there in an abode which in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita is referred to as Shiva Loka. And it is said that form is Vishnu Tattva, and that in that form the Lord Sada Shiva, is always worshipping Lord Sankarsan from the Chaturvyuha. Yeah. So, in this way, we get an idea how it all works, Shiva Tattva. Maybe a little complicated, but whereas this purport is saying, therefore, although this Mahesh Dham is Lord Shiva's Dham, and above Devi Dham, it's not the spiritual world, then we're referring to Mount Kailash. When we're referring to the Shiva Loka on the spiritual side, then it is. There is worship of Lord Sankarsan, according to Sanatana Goswami. So such technical descriptions are sometimes experienced as dry, but that's not the case, actually, because it is obviously these technical discussions of tattva, of trying to establish the truth about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appears in his various forms and energies, parashya shakti vividaiva sruyate, that may be become very technical. But this tattva is important because it enhances ras. If the tattva is not right, then one can also not understand the ras. For example, Advaita Machyuta Manadam Anantarupam, Krishna is manifesting himself into so many forms. In the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, it says, Yatarabhaka Pratibimba, like a young boy who is seated on the edge of a pond and playing with his own reflection. So Krishna is said to play with all his energies. But it's not just a random play, right? Like, what form shall I take today, and so on. No, there is also a system, and there is a rationale to the various forms that Krishna takes. For example, yes, in that form of Shambhu, he's dealing with the material energy. Whereas the other form, he stays remote from it. He does not directly involve himself. In a more remote way, he's dealing with the material energy. So Krishna is described in the Gita as Maya Jakshena Prakite Suyate Sacharacharam. He is the controller of the whole universe and so on, but it doesn't mean that he's actively engaged in that. Vrindavana Parichaya Na Padam Ekam Nagachati. That Krishna never takes one step out of Vrindavan or out of those pastimes. That is Krishna's concern. That is what is on Krishna's mind, these particular pastimes. It was interesting that some years ago, one senior Gaudiya Vaishnava asked a question about the worship that was going on in our Delhi temple. And he said, like, how is it possible? Sisi Radha Partasarthi. That's a contradiction. How can it be? Partasarthi means the chariot driver of Arjuna. He's on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. What has Radha got to do with Kurukshetra? So how can this be Sisi Radha Partasarthi? It's a wrong name. So this point was raised a few years ago, and we saw it here and there proliferating, guess where? And, you know, and then, interesting was that the same point came up in 1975, right, and was brought to Prabhupada's attention. And some asked the question, said, how is it possible that, you know, Radha Partasarthi, isn't that a contradiction in terms? And Prabhupada said, no, not at all. And he said, wherever Krishna is, Radharani is always there. He's always absorbed in that relationship. Therefore, even on the battle of Kurukshetra, even there, therefore, Sisi Radha Partasarthi. So that was quite a rasic vision that Prabhupada had there. but very interesting also. Interesting. But we understand that there is a distinction between these dhams. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita is making that distinction, and right now we're mapping it out, the different worlds. Right? But of course, only then can we also understand the distinctions of rasa and the distinctions of different levels of love of God. After all, in the Vaikuntha regions, that love of God cannot manifest to the same extent as it can manifest in Golok. Now, that is obvious for the followers of Lord Chaitanya, and that we understand, because it is mixed with Aishwarya, mixed with awe and reverence. Jiva Goswami in his Gopal Champu really highlights these the differences between the spontaneous love of Vrindavan and love of God mixed with awe and reverence. And he does it by using the example of Vasudev and Devaki. And there's particularly a situation where Krishna is coming from Dwarka with Vasudev to Kurukshetra, because there is this eclipse and so on. And actually, Vasudev had this idea that they should at that time do a big yajna to counteract the negative influence of the eclipse. And therefore, he made all these big arrangements in Kurukshetra for that sacrifice, a whole arena and a big arrangement, yajnashala, and so many important guests invited, and they could all sit and see the whole thing, tribunes like that, like an amphitheater. So in this way, the whole arrangement was very opulent. And Krishna had come with Vasudev to be part of the sacrifice. Then, so many guests arrived, and then Nanda Maharaj arrives. And when Krishna sees Nanda Maharaj, and when Nanda Maharaj see Krishna, they just both are beyond themselves. And basically, Krishna becomes emotional and shown signs of affection that shock Vasudev, because he's never shown such affection for his father. And so then, you know, like Vasudev is sort of internally, of course he's not saying it, but internally, a bit shocked, like, my son is showing so much love for Nanda Maharaj. And he says out loud, it's not surprising that Krishna shows so much affection for Nanda Maharaj, although he's not his real father. After all, He was there for a long time in Vrindavan. Nanda Maharaj doesn't even hear it. Right? He doesn't hear it. It doesn't register. He only sees Krishna. It just bounces off like water from a duck's back. Right? Doesn't notice it. And then one brahmana comes and says to Vasudev that he must come now to partake in the sacrifice to ward off all the inauspiciousness of the eclipse. And Vasudev leaves the scene. And he leaves Krishna. Right? Then the Gopal Champu is set up in a way there are these narrators who tell the story, and the narrators sometimes make a comment, and the narrators make a comment, and the narrators say, he is leaving Krishna to ward off, to perform a sacrifice, to get rid of inauspiciousness. But what inauspiciousness is there when you have Krishna? There's no inauspiciousness. So in this way, they highlight the unique love of Vrindavan, where Krishna really is the only source of auspiciousness, and where Krishna is the all-in-all, whereas Nanda Maharaj was engaging in a ritualistic activity, all with good intentions. Vasudev was engaging in a ritualistic activity, all with good intentions. But he didn't show that that all-absorbing love that Nanda Maharaj showed. And then Devaki, you know. Then Devaki, she speaks out. And Devaki says, I have heard that Krishna, you, my son, have brought back to life the son of your teacher. Oh, please bring back to life also all my sons that were killed by Kamsa. And again, the narrators are commenting. And they're saying, what is the use of having any sons when you have Krishna and Balaram as your son? Yeah. So in this way, we can see that the contrasting between Golok, the mood of Golok, and the mood of Vaikuntha. It is for that reason. It is for that reason that we're studying the map. One might think, oh boy, a geography class, you know. The three dams, here we go. And a river, of course, there's always a river. I remember my school days, and I remember having to learn the geography of Russia. And when it came, I hated it, I must say. So I drew a big map of Russia on a door with chalk and all the cities, and throw darts at the cities to make the learning process a little easier. But when it came to Dnepropetrovsk, right, my mind went, why in the world do I have to know where Dnepropetrovsk is? I'm never going to go to Dnepropetrovsk. So far, I still haven't been there. And I was convinced, I will never go there. This is useless knowledge. Man. But that's not the case with the descriptions that we find here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is not useless knowledge. This is essential knowledge. Without it, without understanding the makeup of the various worlds, one cannot understand actually the nature of Krishna. Because Krishna is manifesting himself in different features in these different worlds. They are facilities. So as I say, it's not just random, it's not just Krishna is manifesting all kinds of forms as he likes. Oh yes, he also does. He's also playful, very playful in manifesting some lila avatar forms. But we see also in the various Purusha avatars that there is a particular reason. There is a reason why these different worlds are manifested in these ways. Just like in Bhagavatam, You in the fifth canto, you get a description of Jambudvip, and then you get the description of Jambudvip in different subsections called varsas, and then in these different varsas, you see that different living entities are being placed who relate to the Supreme Lord in a different way. Hanuman is eternally residing, or not, but is still residing there, not, in Kim Purusha Varsa, right? And there with other devotees worshipping Lord Ramachandra. So like this, there are various areas where different kinds of worship are going on in these different varsas. We, of course, are in the Ilavritta Varsa or Bharat Varsa, which is only one section, and apparently somewhere in the Himalayas is the entrance to the other varsas. And yeah, we're talking about other dimensions, I guess, in modern terms. So the total manifestation of all the worlds and energies that exist are all providing for different living beings who have developed different mentalities. Just like the Padma Purana in older editions, right, is mentioning that in the age of Kali, there will be four bona fide sampradayas. Modern editions of the Padma Purana don't show that verse. It's been edited out by someone. But whatever, whoever did that. Someone who didn't like the four sampradayas, maybe. But the four sampradayas are described as bona fide, right, in the Padma Purana. And they are bona fide because they are all offering an eternal destination. In that way, they're bona fide. However, it doesn't mean that they all have the deepest understanding or the complete understanding of the Absolute Truth. Some of the bona fide understanding, bona fide sampradayas, do not have the proper understanding about Krishna. They don't understand that he is the Adiswara, or the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. They have no idea that he is the Adi Purusha, and that from him everything emanates. Some within the bona fide sampradayas may think that Krishna is the incarnation of Vishnu, like that, which is obviously not correct. We find sometimes other elements in some of these bona fide sampradayas which we do not accept. For example, that Lakshmi is referred to as Jiva Tattva. In the Madhava Sampradaya, we find a reference that Lakshmi is Jiva Tattva. And that just knocks out the whole concept that the Lord has an eternal consort, which makes rasa a little complicated, if you look at it. So, you know, some of the tattva when there is a misunderstanding, can really be obstructive. Lakshmi, Jiva. But what about the Lord and his eternal consort? That's certainly a complication. So even within the four sampradayas, there are huge philosophical differences, and certainly from our perspective, on some details, they haven't got it right. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We're not making a big issue about it. We're not like declaring war on them for their misconceptions. Right? We have a common enemy, right? And it's like that, you know, at a time of war, right? Even when countries normally wouldn't sit together at the table, At the time of war, you get what you call monster alliances, right, where countries come together to defend against a common enemy. So we have a common enemy, right, amongst these four sampradayas, of course. Every devotee is quite aware who the common enemy is. It's the Mayavadis. Our favorite pastime is targeting the Mayavadis, and you see that this is a tradition in our line, that whenever the opportunity arises, and we have another go at them. That's because they, impersonalism is diametrically opposed to devotional service. It's basically saying, Mayavadi, why Mayavadi, or those who adhere to the philosophy of Maya, of illusion, they are basically saying that Krishna is Maya, his form is illusion, Golok Vrindavan is Maya, that's illusion, and devotional service is illusion as well. Well, then you've basically taken away everything that has any meaning to us, anything. Those are the three things that have meaning to us: devotional service, the spiritual world, and of course, Krishna himself. Without him, who cares about the spiritual world? When Krishna left Vrindavan to go to Mathura, then Sridham immediately, although Vrindavan was the dearmost pastime place of the cowherd boy, although the forest of Vrindavan is the most important place in the life of the cowherd boys, even although in the morning their mothers are decorating them with jewels, when they go into that forest, they cover it with leaves, flowers, wood, and minerals from the forest, right? Because that's much more valuable. Because that forest is the most valuable place. But as soon as Krishna left for Mathura, that forest lost all its value for Sridham, who just fell unconscious. Right? He fell unconscious. And just as he came back to his senses, he just was ready to leave Vrindavan. Leave. There's no point in staying here anymore. So we see the same in Srivas Thakur. When Srivas Thakur, in 1510, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and left Navadvip, and life in Navadvip stopped, basically. You know, there was the kirtan, it just stopped, and it is just like a total... Srivas couldn't tolerate it. He moved. He just moved out of there. He couldn't stay in the Dharma any longer. It's just too much. And being reminded all the time, the separation was too much. Anyhow, so here, this description of these worlds are important to us. So we study these technical chapters of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I came here once again to try and give a course on the CC, just so that I can be a little more absorbed starting tomorrow. And oftentimes people say, oh, you're into the CC. Oh, yes, I'm also into the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, I am into the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but not that those are the good chapters of the CC. And, you know, the tough chapters are like, for example, the first seven chapters are like the impossible chapters, where the whole Panchatattva is like kind of analyzed and explained in a technical way. Tad ekatma rupa, and such type of terms where one... No, those are nectar chapters, actually. Those are very nice. because it's so precise. It is very nice that the philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers is not at all vague, but that it really covers everything very systematically, very scientifically, very completely, and that makes it very solid. So we stand on very solid ground. I once, and I'll end with that story. This time is moving along. But I once, together with Jayadvaita Maharaj in London, visited the headquarters of a particular religious group that is known for printing a magazine in very large numbers and then, you know, distributing that magazine everywhere. You can guess who I'm referring to. And we went there to see the press. Someone had told us they have these really good presses, and Jayadvaita Maharaj, being a back to Godhead man, wanted to see the presses. So we went there. So then there was a tour. So we went there for the tour. And when we came in, we were 2 minutes late, right? The tour had already started for 2 minutes. So we went to the reception in England here, and the man says, yes, he looks at us from head to toe, you know, like, yes. We said, we come for the tour. And he goes, the tour, all right. Well, I guess I don't have to ask you to hang your coat, since we're having chadars, you know. So it started like that, right? And then we were ushered into a little movie theater, and there we saw a little clip how this particular group operates, and that they preach widely. This showed the UK, and make congregations of people, and when the congregation becomes a little bit active, right, then together with the congregation they erect a Kingdom of God hall. The Kingdom of God halls are all prefabricated in panels and so on, and they're all lying ready, and they're basically trucked in, and all the congregation has to do is put a few screws here and there. So, no problem, you can build a Kingdom of God hall on a weekend, but the idea was that people start to feel it's ours. We built this hall, you know. Your grandfather, you know, personally built this hall, right, kind of thing. So, a good psychology, and everything was fine. And then, meanwhile, then they showed us around, and we saw some history, how the first preachers were going door to door and put their foot between the door, as they traditionally have done. Right, and all these things, and then we saw how they took us to the carpenter workshop, where and the presenter, the tour guide, was speaking a lot about the brothers and the sisters. It was very brotherly and sisterly, and brothers and sisters, and brothers and sisters, and brothers and sisters. And here is where the brothers are making folding beds, you know, for their brothers and sisters, so that anyone who stays in one of the nice facilities that is offered by the community can stay very comfortable and doesn't have to, especially those who don't have so much space, then they can just fold their bed away so that they're perfectly comfortable and cared of, because the brothers are caring for the sisters and the sisters are caring for the brothers. And it was really like that. And then the printing press, and then everywhere bandage boxes next to the door, and sending, and we're looking like, well, in case anything happens to the brothers and sisters, we really want them to feel cared for. So there was a lot of emphasis on care, care, brothers, sisters, caring, and so on. We came to the basement. In the basement, there were the biggest washing machines that I'd ever seen in my life. A man could go inside, you know. I mean, possibly a couple. That big. Enormous things, right? And there indeed, was a pile of laundry the size of Govardhan Hill or something like that. Whenever we see a mountain, we think of Govardhan, right? So, it was a mountain of laundry. Looking at it a little more closely, in a lot of the cloths was all tied up in little nets, and with great pride, our tour guide said, yes, all the laundry of each individual is assembled here and placed in an individual net with an individual identification tag. Yes, admit it. You know, admit it. What do you hate most? It's the washing, isn't it? Oh, what a drag it is. But in our community, the brothers and the sisters are perfectly cared for. Everything is arranged. Yes, do not worry. And you don't have to be in anxiety that anything will be lost because the identification label is there. It's all computerized. So cannot get lost. All right, you know, it was getting a little too brotherly and sisterly at one stage for a Hare Krishna, right? Like myself. So I started to get bored, and I wandered off a little bit to one corner of the basement, and there was a little corridor, and sort of human curiosity took me around the corner, and I just walked into the corridor when the tour guide said, no, no, not in there. Chaitvaita Maharaj was close behind me, and he turned around immediately and said, what's in there? And then our tour guide said, that's the butchery. And then, Chaitvaita Maharaj, being the one who he is, immediately pounced on him and said, oh, oh, the brothers and sisters are doing it themselves. It's perfectly all right. It's says in Noah's Ark. And so on, he mumbled. But the time will come when the kingdom of God will come on earth, and then it will not be required anymore, because then all creatures will live in harmony together. Chaitvaita Maharaj said, we don't need it now. The tour is finished. So anyway, they didn't know how quick to get rid of us. But it was interesting how, yeah, the predominant message that we got from that tour was that the caring element in the community, that was the crux. Join this community because you're completely cared for. Do not worry. Here, everyone cares for everyone. You're secure. Join now. That was basically the message, right? And as we know, that's not the message of the Hare Krishna movement. In fact, we have a history of not caring for anybody. But we are catching up. Devotee care is nowadays a fashion. We're trying to implement some of these things, waking up to it that possibly it does make sense. But it is certainly not the first and foremost consideration for joining the Hare Krishna movement. Right? In fact, you know, in the old days it used to be sink or swim, right? And they throw you in the deep end immediately, very little support, and, you know, the bad ones were demons anyway. These days, we do have a support structure, but do not expect that in the Hare Krishna movement we are relieved of personal responsibility. Ultimately, as Prabhupada said, everyone flies his own plane. When the plane is on the ground, there is a ground staff that can sort of do a lot of things to take care of the plane. But once you're up in the air, you're on your own. So in spiritual life, ultimately, the responsibility is with us to make sure that we don't miss the boat and that we get across this Viraja River and into the spiritual world. And while we're going, we may as well go past the Vaikuntha planets all the way to Golok, because as we have learned from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that's the place to be. With that, I thank you. Any questions? Any comments? Mahaprabhu. I think so. Sometimes, you know, like in interfaith, sometimes we can just stand up for God, you know. Absolutely, we can. Right? But other times, we will attack the meat eaters, right, and things like that. Yeah, so time, place, and circumstance, absolute. We can make alliances with people who are thinking differently, but... But you know, there are. Prabhupada was a little polarizing sometimes, right, in these kind of things. For example, there's this reference where Prabhupada said, when the Mayavadi will say that, after all, we are all, you know, all spiritualists, and you know, we're all, then. Then Prabhupada said, then we will say no. Eh? No, we will say no. No, it's not all one. No, we're not all part of that. No, we'll speak out against. Yeah. So Prabhupada sometimes spoke out in a strong, polarizing way. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami does it also. Chaitanya Charitamrita, anyone who's not a devotee of Krishna is certainly a demon. Anyone who is certainly... not a devotee of Chaitanya, is also a demon. Anything religious or irreligious, which is not devotional service, is sinful. Okay, you can read that out, that sloka, at the next interfaith meeting. So we do have like a double policy there, yeah, a little bit. We're slightly... So it's not just... So those who are in the communication field, they may have to put some certain things in the foreground, some things in the background. But ultimately, everybody does that, right? The Catholic Church is also not really fond of Hare Krishnas, and there are still members who think that we are from the devil. So not everyone... In any religion accepts that Krishna is God, right? Unfortunately. So if we could just reach that common ground, Krishna, God, Allah, Alila, the one God, is what it means. And the Christian God, all the same. Phew, that would be a big step forward. Krishna Kshetra. Srivas Pandit. No, Kumar Hatta. He settled in Kumar Hatta and somewhere or other the birthplace of Ishvara Puri, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came there later to collect the dirt. So he met Srivas also at that time. Yeah, Yeah, but he couldn't tolerate it, obviously. It was just too much. There are so many destinations. So this purport is sort of a short. There's a short reference to the point. Right? It's later on in other places is much more elaborately described what the different destinations are of various personalities. Buddhists they go into the Viraja River, right, where the three modes of material nature are absent. Prabhupada said. Christians, sometimes he said they'll go to Brahmaloka because they're always into the Creator, right? And so on. But maybe not all Christians. It's maybe too black, too simple. Maybe Teresa de Avila really had something after all. Her love of God. She even describes symptoms of like becoming so overwhelmed by her love for Krishna that she cannot move. And you go like, God. That we call that stunt, you know, bhava. Okay? So, some great advancement also in other traditions. There is a distinction of different destinations. One should not just hang up. This is the danger. You take one statement, one purport, you make it a hook, and you hang everything on that one hook. No, you have to do a comprehensive study then of like what's said on the topic. Vanipedia is part of it. It's not the all-in-all, by the way, but it's Oxford, you know, doing a whole thing. Okay. Then some amateurs who also put some spices in the soup, like all the libraries we have upstairs. Okay, last. Technical tat for Krishna Kshetra here in case I get stuck. Oh, Radha Parthasarathi, yeah. Yeah. It says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that then he is Vasudev Krishna. And we know about Vasudev Krishna that in Dwarka he looks in the polished floors of the palace and sees his own reflection, right? But he's attracted to that form. But at one point Vasudev Krishna, he says, "Who is that other form of myself? That other form of myself, the Krishna in Vrindavan, that makes me want to be a maidservant." Yeah. Who is that other form of myself? So Vasudev Krishna is Vishnu Tattva is very tricky, you know, for our mind to figure out, right? Because simultaneously one in many, and our nature is to think of like, okay, here's the first form, then the expansion, and they're separate forms, and then we see them separate. And it's very hard for us to see the oneness, because we can only look at separate forms, you know. And looking at you and me is separate. Of course, there is a bond, but distinctly separate. But sometimes completely one, and sometimes, and on other aspects, different. So you see this interchanging. You know, like sometimes Krishna takes four arms to kill a demon. Yeah. He doesn't do it. Like, yeah, he takes the four-armed form. Interchanging in between these Vishnu Tattva forms. But yes, Vasudev Krishna. He is Vasudev Krishna. A different mood. Now he's the Kshatriya. Now he's the prince. Different bhav he's manifesting. Not the same mood. Therefore, you know, the gopis were not satisfied that Krishna goes to Mathura. Sometimes I raise the point, if Krishna wanted to go to Mathura and Akrura was taking him away, and Krishna had that sort of smile on his face, which indicated that he didn't mind leaving, and everyone was shocked, and it was too much, and the gopis grabbed the reins to hold back the chariot. Why? If it was Krishna's desire to go, and they were devotees who had no other desire than to please Krishna, why didn't they dance in front of the chariot all the way to Mathura, throwing flowers? Right? Why? Why? Was his desire? What kind of devotees are they? Was there selfish desire after all? No. It wasn't. What it was is that the gopis understood Krishna cannot be happy out of Vrindavan. He's gone mad. He's lost it. He's lost it. He just doesn't understand where his own happiness lies. We have to save him. Hold back the chariot. Like that. Yes. All right. That was enough. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.